I want to remind you that a covenant, by definition, is a two-party affair. I need you to understand that in light of what I told you yesterday. I meant to say this yesterday. I should have said it. A covenant, by definition, consists of two parties that agree on something. So the old covenant was Israel agreeing with God to do their part. The new covenant is not a covenant at all, because God writes his law on the hearts of Israelites and pretty much makes them do the new covenant. Well, let's just say when one's heart gets turned from a heart of stone to heart of flesh, one starts acting righteously. Isn't that amazing? How did that happen? Exercise of free will? No, I would say it's God changing your heart. A little bit of housekeeping now. My sister Kelly tells me that if anyone is not getting the emails for this show, it's because there's some kind of glitch in the system. If all of a sudden you stopped getting email notification about this show, go to martinzender.com and resubscribe. Sorry for the hassle. I would be upset about it. It's like, why do I have to resubscribe? I get it. I don't know why. You just do. Or you can just go to my website every day, martinzender.com. You know this show is coming up new 5 days a week. You can get it at my website, martinzender.com. It's nice to get the notifications. Got a nice direct link there. Hit click and go. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is explaining this to Greeks who probably had a Ten Commandment fetish. They probably had this admiration for Israel because they probably knew of the history of Israel. They probably admired Israel from afar, and they wanted to be like Mike. Yeah, they wanted to be like Israel. They wanted to do the law. Like when I was a kid in the Catholic Church, I looked at the priest up on the altar. I thought, ooh, I want to be a priest. I couldn't imagine being closer to God. Little did I know at the time, as a little weanling, that I was, you know, to be seated at the right hand of God, and that I had access with confidence to the Father, and that the priest was a poser, playing little Israel games in his zoot suit. Now, that wasn't for me. But, you know, as a child, as an immature person, you have these errant fantasies, and for sure, one of the fantasies of the nations would be,
oh, Paul, can we be like Israelites? Can we be like Israelites?
They probably, like I said, admired them from afar. Even the nations knew that God was with Israel. They saw them coming out of the out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, dry shod. Everybody heard of the storied history of the Hebrews. These tales were famous. These accounts, they're not tales, they're true events. They were famous. And anybody who had a spiritual inclination, it's like when you play football, you want to be the Patriots. Everybody wants to be the Patriots. Okay, now they want to be the Eagles. But it's the same with the nations. They want to be Israelites. It's the same with Christians today. They want to be Israelites. Paul is schooling them here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 2, you are our letter engraven in our hearts, known and read by all humans, for you are manifesting a letter of Christ dispensed by us and engraven not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on stone tablets, but on the fleshy tablets of the heart. These people, I'm thinking, were obsessed with the letter, with something that's engraven. Because isn't that impressive when you have something engraven in stone, like the Magna Carta of God, the Ten Commandments? Paul says, you are our letters. Paul is going to say here, I'm going to preempt him, that letters in stone are primitive. And the whole object of the Ten Commandments was to kill people with stone who did not obey the laws written in stone. Did you get that? Kill people with stone who did not obey the laws written in stone. It's all about stone. This is why I think, this is just me, I think people who deserved capital punishment under the Israel system were stoned. You see the pictures of people being stoned in the Old Testament? The stoners come up to the stonies, and you see pictures of them, like they have their rocks ready to go over their heads. And if you transpose that with pictures of Moses coming down from Mount Sinai, he has the tablets of the law in a similar disposition. He has in a similar attitude. And if you just took that tablet from Moses, replace it with a rock, you'd throw the thing at somebody. It's just so similar. I think God's being a little jokester there, being a little funny there. It's like, you want stone? Okay. You want stone? I'll give you stone. Again, the purpose of that law written in stone was to drive people in helplessness to some other solution for their inability to do what the law commanded. Paul says, you are our letter. He's saying basically, forget engravings. He got ticked off at the Athenians for this. On his famous address on Mars Hill, as I walk about your marble sanctuaries, I see many engravings, many statues. These people are obsessed with stone. I was in Peru a couple times, and the Incas, they love stone. They spent a lot of their lives putting large stones one on top of another. And people marvel at how they made the stones fit. They were pre-cut or whatever. I don't understand this obsession with rocks. I really don't. What did you do? What do you dedicate your life to? Stacking rocks together in the most amazing manner possible, so that 500 years from now, people will come here and see how perfectly we put rocks one upon another. I don't understand the obsession with hard things. I like soft things. I like gentle things. I like fleshy tablets. I like this. This is why Paul's thrilling me here. He says, you are manifesting a letter of Christ. This is 2 Corinthians 3:3. You are manifesting a letter of Christ dispensed by us and engraven not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on stone tablets, but on the fleshy tablets of the heart. That's what I'm into. I love the fleshy tablets of the heart. Fleshy tablets of the heart. Softness, kindness, meekness, all the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not jasper, granite, marble.
I'm scared.
Shale. Coal.
You hurt me.
Not even diamonds. And I'm sorry, but I'm not all really epically impressed with the gems that decorate the New Jerusalem. I suppose it's great for that, but it's still hard stuff. I don't like hard stuff. I like soft stuff. So, you are our letter, Paul says, engraven in our hearts, known and read by all humans, for you are manifesting a letter of Christ. This is the real deal, Corinthians. Forget the Ten Commandments. Forget the law chiseled in stone. You are manifesting more than that could ever produce. What did the law produce? As we're going to read here, if I ever get past verse 3, it produced more indignation. It produced death. It produced people hurling stones at you because you could not do it. It produced the frustration of the great Pharisee Saul in Romans chapter 7 that said, the commandment that said, thou shalt not covet, produced in me coveting of every manner. That's what the guy said. That's what the guy said. Frustrating. It frustrates the crap out of you. Oh, the naivete of Israel as they stood beneath Mount Sinai saying, all that the Lord said, we will do. Verse 4. Hey, look, I got past verse 3. Now, such is the confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are competent of ourselves. Paul has to put a little... This is true. as soon as you mention the word confidence, as soon as you mention the word, I'm proud of my work, or I'm confident that we'll be able to get through this, people are going, no, no, no. You can't be confident. Don't you know everything comes from God? You can't be proud. Don't you know that comes before a fall? But people who are constantly tisking that way have not come through the death of the old creation and have not seen themselves as a new creation in Christ. When you have considered the old humanity to have died with Christ, to have been entombed with Christ, and now you're walking in newness of life, so you can use these phrases. You can say the pronoun I. You can use the word I'm competent. I'm competent. I did a great job on that newsletter. And you know that it was Christ doing it all. But Paul has to say this. He has to mention it. Not that our competency is of ourselves, to reckon anything as of ourselves, but our competency is of God. Unfortunately, this has to keep being mentioned because of immature people. And I remind you who Paul is writing to here, the Corinthians. He never says anything like this in Ephesians. He just goes for it. He just says, we're seated with Christ. We're this, we're that. I do this, I do that. Great, great. Because he's writing a mature letter to a mature audience, mature audiences only. And they realize that their old humanity was crucified. There's no longer an issue between, is it me or is it Jesus? Am I being selfish or am I living the Christ life? No, to live is Christ. Why? Because you were crucified with Christ. And now you are associated with Christ in his resurrection and you are justified. So you can be relaxed now with the pronoun I. Let it flow. I did this. I did that. I did this. I did that. Now, when this comes from the mouth of a Christian, it's a whole different ballgame because they're coming from pre-crucifixion truth, and they actually are arrogant bastards. They pretend they're humble, but they're not. But see, I can say I all day, and I'm not an arrogant bastard because I've come through the crucifixion, and I realize that my old humanity was crucified with Christ, Romans chapter 6, and I live in newness of life, and I know that it's all of God. As Paul says right here, he has to say that to the Corinthians. Our competency is of God. No kidding. No kidding. It's like Paul telling the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, in him we live and move and are. I mean, this is the sovereignty of God 101. This is basic course in God being in charge of everything and doing everything. But again, this is a very rare understanding, even though it was so funny. Paul is like giving this great truth of the sovereignty of God to a bunch of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, kings of philosophy, those guys in Athens. And of course, it went over most of their heads, but he has to explain this to the Corinthians. So again, you got the worldly people and religious people, and they're both a little bit don't understand the sovereignty of God here. But I got off the topic a little bit, but that's okay. Oh, and I know I still have to talk to you about the body of Christ. I remember the joints, the assimilation, and the togetherness, describing the nuts and bolts of it. I'm still going to do that. I have not forgotten about that. Don't worry about that, my friends. So Paul says, not that we are competent of ourselves to reckon anything as of ourselves, but our competency is of God. No kidding. Who also makes us competent dispensers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit, for the letter is killing, yet the spirit is vivifying. I have a ton to say on that. I can't get started on it now. It throws some people off to see this phrase, new covenant, in a letter of Paul. But this is not the new covenant. This is a new covenant. Paul's comparing. He's doing a comparison between the law of Moses, which the Corinthians had heard of, and his message. He's skipping over the Israelite new covenant. He's totally skipping over that. I need you to see that. And he's going on to the gospel of grace, which leads to righteousness, which is not the gospel of Israel. It's not the circumcision gospel. That gospel leads to forgiveness, not justification, and not being declared righteous. You are not stoned because you're doing the law, and you're doing the law because the law is written on your hearts. Even in the 1,000-year kingdom, the law will still go forth from Zion, And good Israelites will avoid capital punishment simply because they are doing the law. It's not because they're justified. So not even in the thousand years does Israel as a nation come into the truth of justification. So what Paul is saying is beyond even the 1,000 years. It's beyond the new covenant of Israel. And it's very critical to note here that this is not, the definite article is not present here. It's not the new covenant. It's a new covenant. Paul is, again, using new covenant as a figure of speech because this is not a covenant at all any more than the new covenant is. But this blows the new covenant to bits.